Across the world, there's an increasing movement to give voice to animals and raising their concerns to the attention of policymakers. Holland's Marianne Thieme was a trailblazer for the movement. She started the Party for Animals in late 2002 in response to the government's abolishment of a number of animal welfare standards. The party now has 50 elected representatives in the Netherlands and has inspired political parties across the globe. She told me why she was inspired to speak up for animals who can't vote for themselves.
In 2002, the cabinet at that time swiftly away a lot of animal welfare standards in no time. And I was a lobbyist during that time for an animal rights organization called Fur for Animals. And then we thought, well, you know, we have to have our own party to put the animal welfare issue on the political agenda. So we started the Party for the Animals in the late 2002. And after 2 months of campaigning with just four people and no budget, we nearly got a seat in January 2003.
You must have felt very reassured that you were on the right path then.
Yes, we received very enthusiastic calls coming from people who were active, for example, in the 60s for the emancipation of women. So I recall a call from an old lady in her 90s, and she said, well, so excited, I'm so moved that I'm going to see actually a party for animals, because we toasted during the struggle for women's rights to women's rights and vegetarianism. They felt a bond with all groups, be it man or animal.
What rights are you trying to represent on behalf of animals?
Well, we try to be a voice for animals who can't vote for themselves. It's not that we want to give human rights to animals. It's just that the politics are taking the animal interest seriously into account.
This is issues like live export farming and the regulation on that and trying to prioritise the animals over the economy on these issues, is that right?
Yeah, there were millions upon millions of animals who are being abused on a daily basis in factory farming industry, in animal testing experiments, in circuses. And it's a matter of civilization to care for animals and not only show compassion for your own species, but to broaden it also for other living beings.
In your time, have you seen the politics on these issues move progressively, or have you seen them stay the same?
Oh, yes. The other political parties, such as the Greens and Labour parties, jumped on the bandwagon because they really saw that animals' rights were an important issue for the electorate. And in 2006, we got nearly three seats. And after that, you saw that the other political parties started to initiate all kinds of bills, for example, to ban fur farms in our country. And fortunately, it got the majority, so now it's banned. And it's my impression that it's because there's a party for the animals.
What do you see are the things that we have as key issues of conflict that relate to animals here?
The trend in Australia is also to go large scale in terms of factory farms. And that means the disappearance of family farms and a threat for not only animal health in terms of animal diseases, but also animal welfare. And it's not a sustainable way of producing food. So that's a big problem for Australia in the near future. The kangaroo trade, lots of kangaroo products are being exported to Holland and to other European countries. And it's a cruel trade and also a threat for human health because a lot of bacteria are in kangaroo meat. So these are two issues besides, of course, the live export that are, I think, of great importance to look after. And that's why I hope that this coming up federal election for a lot of voters will be the chance to vote for an animal-friendly party such as the Animal Justice Party.
Do you have an alliance with that party here in Australia?
It's a sister party. There are 14 parties for the animals at the moment in the world. So we are growing very fast. And the Animal Justice Party has got a seat last year at the Legislative Council in New South Wales.
You've talked about the banning of fur farming in the Netherlands. Yeah. What other successes do you feel like you've achieved?
One of our biggest successes is the adoption of our initiative to ban religious slaughter without stunning. It's avoidable suffering. The animals don't get pre-slaughter stunning. It was a majority for that bill. Unfortunately, in the Senate, where it's a little bit more conservative, they rejected the bill. But I'm going to initiate a new bill this year Another success is in a ban on enriched cages. And make no mistake, that's just a battery cage, but then decorated. And battery cages are banned in the EU, but now also the enriched cages in Holland. Another big success is that we've got a 6 million euro budget for innovations for meat alternatives, because we can't eat that much meat any longer because it's bad for the planet and bad for our health. And we managed to raise the budget for alternatives for animal experiments.
If it was a vision of what you would like to achieve, what would the world look like?
The World Wildlife Fund stated that if we were to be continued our current consumption patterns with a lot of meat, we need a second planet Earth. And we simply don't have that, of course. So we need to cut down our meat consumption very fast with this growing population in the world. And to do that, we have to find tasty and healthy alternatives for meat. And there are already, based on soy, for example, or lupine, another bean, with a lot of protein, very healthy. And the best thing about that is we don't need to kill animals any longer.
And in relation to laboratory animals, there's the argument from the scientific perspective that ideally they also wouldn't test on animals, but it's a necessary evil to be reassured that things are okay for humans. What's your response to that?
Well, the fact is, unfortunately, that a lot of animal models do not apply to humans. A lot of medicines work for animals, but not for humans. So if we want to be really innovative and we really want to care for humans and animals, then we simply have to find alternatives which are far more effective and really can cause a breakthrough for a lot of diseases.
How long do you think it will take before we actually start to really adopt this and get closer to the utopian view that you have?
Well, we're on the threshold of a new era. I'm convinced that this will be the era of the animal, the emancipation of the animal. And why? Because we have so many concurrent crises at the moment. We have a food crisis, we have climate change problems, we have diversity loss. We realize now that business as usual is no longer an option. We have to change our attitude, because otherwise it will cause also problems for humans. So compassion towards animals will also mean compassion to each other and to have a sustainable planet. And I think people come to realize that we can't eat money. We really have to change our way of living. So I think that means a lot of possibilities for our movement, our animal rights movement, to seriously take the animal interest into account together with the human interest.
Marianne Thieme, leader of the Party for Animals in Holland.